Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
Very good. I'm excited. I should have kept you guys up here, but I released you. But I had a couple words for some people. So usually I like my little Holy Spirit music playing in the back. But the Holy Spirit is still here, even without the worship keys. It's all good. Oh, is he going to turn it on? Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. So good. But yes, I had a couple words for people. And I saw you, Jackie. You were up here with your mom, Cheryl. So Jackie, if you're in the room still, oh, come on. Jackie, yes, you can stand up, Jackie. I get emotional. God is so personable. He is so personable, and he has such a love for each and every one of you. It's unconditional love. If you haven't experienced the unconditional love of your Heavenly Father, tonight you're going to experience it. So Jackie, I had just a quick dream about you, actually, and it was in regards to tonight, so I knew that I had to release this word over you, that in this dream, as you do tonight, you look so gorgeous and so beautiful, and you were about ready to share something. So you got your arms all like engaged, and you said, you know what my story is, and then frozen. And what I believe is that there was something that happened that tried to come in and steal your voice, tried to freeze you, tried to put you in a certain time that you're stuck in. And right now, in Jesus' name, no longer are you going to be stuck, that your voice is so important that God gave me a dream about you, that no longer are you going to be stuck anymore. No longer do you feel like you can't share your story. What God was saying is that your story is so important, and your story is meant to be heard and meant to be shared. So don't let the devil freeze you up when you have a story inside of you that is going to rock the people's world around you, and it's going to only point to Jesus, our Savior. Amen? So God's got you. You have a voice, girl. Amen. The other person, actually, Amy Marks. Amy Marks, what I saw for you is that you just have an incredible gift, and that gift is the art of communication. I don't know if that's been spoken over you before, but what I heard God say is my daughter is emerging in the arts, and it's in the art of communication, that she knows how to put certain things together that, oh my gosh, how did she even come up with this? This analogy and this and how she paired it, it was an art form. So your voice as well, God is doing something, unlocking our voices tonight, that your voice is meant to be risen up. And it's the art of communication. And so I see that publicly, but I also see it that with you helping marriages and spouses, that they will have the art of communication in marriage. And how beautiful is that? I need that. I'm gonna sign up for that course tonight. But amen, you have the art of communication. And also really quick, Mallory Parson and your daughter, Olivia, are you guys kinda next to you? You guys can both stand. You guys can stretch out your hand to them. I saw something so special on the two of you, and what it is legacy. It's you, Mallory, as a pioneer and as a mother, and Olivia, as you are the daughter, and you guys almost linking arms together is what I saw. A legacy together, and a partnership almost. And dare say it, if it's a business that you're gonna launch, that Olivia, you're gonna be taking it, and you guys are gonna be linking arm to arm in that same industry. So you guys are brilliant, but also I just see legacy upon you guys. Legacy, generational wealth, generational legacy. And there's something special on you guys. And it's also something special that God is unlocking in this house, is generational legacy in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. I can go on. One more time. I'm going to do, so Emmy. Debbie, is your daughter Emmy here? She is Emmy! Emmy, you are so gifted. You are so wise. You are wise beyond your years. I know your mother's probably said that to you a bunch of times, but you have this gift of learning and soaking things up and knowing truth, knowing right and wrong. I believe that there was a time, so this isn't God showing me this, but I believe you wanted to get into law school, right? You wanted to be a lawyer possibly, maybe. Maybe it was in the works. But what I saw a picture of you was you crowned with a wreath of flowers. And so what that means to me, what that signifies, is that people are going to be attracted to you and you're going to carry the law inside of your heart. You're going to carry God's law inside of your heart. You're going to walk in truth. People are going to come to you. They see you. They're attracted to you, but you carry this law. But what the flowers resemble is his mercy and his grace. So you're going to be paired up with the two, with mercy and with truth. Those two go hand in hand. So as you continue to grow up and to get into whatever amazing thing that you're going to go get into, that is a purpose that God has on your life, a destiny that is unlocked. In Jesus' name, come on, amen. Amen. All right, amen. Thank you so much, Abe. I appreciate it. It's always better, right? So tonight, it is Paris theme night. Bonjour. Comment ça va? Ça va bien et toi? I don't know. Parlez-vous français? Oui. En croissant, s'il vous plaît. That's what I will say in Paris. Paris. So the title of my message tonight to go along with the theme is Bon Voyage. Bon voyage, bon voyage. And what bon voyage means, it's having a good travel, a good journey. Bon voyage, have a good journey. So bon voyage, ensuring a good life's journey. So when we leave tonight, we want to leave changed. We want to leave a little lighter than how we came in. And that's what God's plan is for us tonight, is to be able to have an assurance of walking a good life's journey with him. Amen? So my point number one is travel light. This is also going to be pretty practical wisdom. It's going to be all paired together. But point number one is travel light. When you're going to have a bon voyage journey, a great life, you want to travel light. I went on a trip recently, and literally, I don't know if this happens to you when you go into groups, but you start comparing your luggage with other people. Do you do that or not? I don't know. You just start comparing. And then you start having like a little pride rises up in you because they're like, oh my gosh, you travel that light? It's like, oh yeah, like you're the smart one of the whole crew, and they're over there with like the big luggage, you know, trying to get up, and you're like, ha ha ha, secretly. But to travel light. And so there are things that we carry that is unnecessary to carry, some baggage that we carry around in our life that we don't need to carry anymore. So I'm really hoping that tonight, in Jesus' name, we're going to get rid of some baggage that we've been carrying too long that's been weighing us down, and we're going to leave changed and light and refreshed. Amen. Hebrews 12:1 says this, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. This just sounds great already. I want to lay aside every weight, body weight, luggage weight. Oh, Jesus speaks to us. It's his word. So refreshing. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us or entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let's get rid of some baggage. Let's get set free of some baggage. Yes, this has been spring cleaning lately for us, which has been amazing But as we've been doing spring cleaning in our home, I realized how much stuff we have in our home and how many garbage bags we're able to fill up for the spring cleaning. I wish that all Utah was like this. I didn't realize it's not everywhere. But I feel very blessed because there's a time, I think it's twice a year or so, you get to put whatever you want on the side of the street and then they pick it up. Is that not just me? Is that more people in here? Oh, glory to God. This is why we moved to Utah. Oh, this is so good. But yes, there's about two times. And I was like, are you serious? This really happens here where you can put all this stuff on the side. They're like, yeah, just no batteries. I'm like, solid. I could do that. And so this last week, we were carrying out, and we're like, okay, it is time. It is time. We can't, like, keep this stuff anymore. We're keeping all this space. We need space. We need our garage back. We can't even fit our cars in the garage because we have all this stuff. So it is time to get rid of some things. And also, granted, about a month or so ago, I unfortunately watched this whole series about hoarders. I don't know if you guys have seen the hoarders thing. It's actually a good thing to watch because it gives you, like, a healthy anxiety that you'd never want to be that person. And so then you start going around and you're like, what am I hoarding and what do I have and I need to get rid of this and it's a whole thing. And I came to the conclusion I do hoard. It's a very sad thing. I hoard, and what I hoard is compost. No, it is so gross. I have this thing in me because I want to have a great garden. And so everything, I'm like banana peels, there's avocado shells, avocado shells, there's anything like lettuce. And what happens because I have to walk a little ways. I'm a bit lazy, but I have to walk a ways up this little hill to go to our compost. And so what happens is in our kitchen, it just starts piling up in my sink. It's disgusting. And my husband does not appreciate this. And I'm like, the coffee grounds, it's so good for the soil, you know? So it's like we have this whole plate next to the coffee machine with like mounds of coffee grains. So I realized when we were trying to clean the house that as we were cleaning the kitchen, I had to part ways with some of my compost. And it really got me. And I realized I had a problem. And so from that moment on, we're fixing things. I'm getting that off. But, hoarding compost was one of my things that I realized. And I don't want to be on TV for that, you know? Like, hoarding clothes is much better than hoarding compost and, like, old lettuce. And it's so bad. So anyway, it's a great season, spring cleaning, and all of a sudden, too, I'm like, man, we've been keeping this couch in our garage for way too long. We can't even drive our car in our garage. We need to get rid of this. So we started taking out a couch. We started taking out all these things that we thought we've had for years, and we're like, oh, someday we'll sell it. Someday. But then it just took all of this space, and so we thought, okay, it's better to give it up than to keep it, and then after we did it, oh my gosh, this lightness, this peace that surpasses all understanding came upon me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we have a garage? What's this new thing? I get to, like, open the garage in my car, and I get to drive in, and it's a whole new world. So I'm living that this week, so amen. It's a good thing. My unnecessary hoarding, and the compost is getting better. I don't know. I still have a tray next to the coffee machine, but it's okay. It's getting better. But traveling light, going back to that, is traveling light. And in the scripture, when it talks about let us lay aside every weight and the sin, I was thinking about that. Well, what's the difference of weight and sin? Every weight and sin. Why couldn't he just say the weight of sin? Because sin is a weight, but then there's more weight that we actually hold on to. And what I was thinking what that is that we need to get set free from rage, from bitterness, from arrogance, from unforgiveness, from fear, from stubbornness, from grudges, from vengeance, from spite, from hatred, from secondhand offenses, from division, from letting go of our experience from the past. There's things that we have from the past that no matter where we're going in life, if we're heading on a trip to Paris and that's where our life takes us, we are keeping an unnecessary baggage or multiple baggages with us that we're carrying along the way that would be a lot less expensive for us, right? If we took all those bags on the plane with us, it's time to let go and deal with our hurts correctly. It's time to bury some things that we've been luggaging around with all of these years. I think of old offenses that keep haunting us, that it keeps coming up in our mind. And one of the biggest things I think that as women we can hold on to is the baggage of victimhood. It's a victim mindset. Being a victim. But really what God wants to take us from is being from a victim to a victor. And a daughter of God's promises. I remember when Matt and I first got married, and I think we're going on 13 years, Usually it's the guy that will get in trouble, but I'll get in trouble. But I think we're going on 13 years. And 13 years ago, we were getting married, and I was a girl from Oakdale, California. It's this really cute small town. And I had a herd of cows growing up. They were the best cows in the entire world. Twinkle, Star, Whirlwind, Diamond Sky, Twinkle Jr., Whirlwind, and then Sparkles. So that was my whole herd of cows. And I would feed them carrots. I would ride Twinkle. Twinkle didn't go very far, but it was my favorite one. It was the first one, Twinkle, little Twinkle Toes. I baptized them all, you preach to them. That's what you do with animals, right? Like any babies, you're like, I baptize you before you go to your new home. But in this case, the boys that were born actually went and I sold off the boys. So that was my thing growing up, that's what I did. And so by the time it was that Matt and I got married, I had in the account $10,000. That is pretty amazing for a high school girl coming out of high school, coming out of college, $10,000 in the account. And so I remember we had an amazing wedding, amazing honeymoon, and we come back, and then that's when things start to all unravel. The honeymoon phase just kind of drifts away. I got mad at him because he was, up on our counter and playing a guitar. He was still in his honeymoon phase. I was getting ready for work, and he's just playing the guitar, swinging his little toes and feet, in the air. And then my anxiety, I do have this anxiety thing, and it's just started beating really fast. Like, why is he on the counter swinging his little toes and just playing on the guitar? And I think he's playing a worship song. What is that? And so I'm in the bathroom trying to put my mascara on and get ready to go to my job. And because I'm just like, I'm anxious, he should be anxious too, right? And so then, all of a sudden I hit my funny bone and then I yell out a very bad word. And then all of a sudden, after the very bad word is spoken, the last strums on the guitar just and he stopped. His toes stopped swaying and he realized honeymoon phase is over. And it's unfortunate. It all got regained back. But in that time when we were newlyweds, that's when it was things that I didn't know. When you get into a marriage, it's things on both sides, right, that get brought in. And I didn't realize I'm coming in $10,000. And then he was spending all this money at the gym getting all prepared for the wedding day, but in debt. So then I had to come in and find out, oh my gosh, now I have to take my precious cow money from Twinkle and give it over to you to cover these gym costs. What the heck? And that was 13 or so years ago. And for some reason, whenever we have financial issues, I go back and I pull out that bag. And I think of that time when I had that $10,000 from Twinkle and I had to cover his gym membership costs that he got, on his credit card debt, didn't have the money, but I had to forfeit. So then it was this offense that would come up in me. So whenever we would have financial talks or issues, I would think, you're the problem. You're the one. You're taking all the money and all this hard-earned money that I made. It's all given to you. So this offense that comes up, but I'm telling you, those things that continue to rise up and continue to haunt us, continue to to stink because it's so old that when we're carrying that around, when we're bringing up that offense again, how bad and stinky it is. The type of luggage that we're pulling around probably smells worse than my compost. It probably smells worse. And so I'm telling you, tonight, we need to get set free from those offenses that were brought up in the past. Amen. Oh my goodness. It's time to let go. It's time to let go. Proverbs 17:9 says this, that love prospers when a fault is forgiven. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. But dwelling on it separates close friends. What do we have that we're carrying around with us wherever we go that we continue to find fault into this person or that person? You can be going into your marriage or going into your job and saying it's your fault, and this new job, oh, it's their fault. And you're blaming all these things around you, but actually what's happening is that you're carrying this luggage that you shouldn't be carrying that smells worse than my compost pile. It smells bad. So for us to be able to learn how to deal with our issues, to be deal with issues of the past and to let it go and to forgive. So let's do that tonight. If we have something that is holding on to us, that victim mindset, it's time to let it go. When you walk in faith, hope, and love, you'll be traveling light. You'll be traveling without the weight of rage. You're going to be traveling without the weight of bitterness. You're going to be traveling without the weight of unforgiveness. And so tonight, that's anything that is holding you down, that weight, it is time to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. The song that is just the let it go. Let it go. That's what we're going to do tonight. And we're going to definitely let it go in the dance floor on the third floor. So very good. Amen. All right, that was my point number one, is to travel light. Point number two, as we're bon voyaging, is to ask for upgrades. Yes, ask for upgrades. This is actually a real thing, because I used to be in the hospitality industry. That was the major of mine that I went to college for. And so in order for me to graduate, I had to work at a hotel. And so I worked at a great hotel. It was a boutique hotel called Hotel Diamond. And it was small enough. It had about 43 rooms. So they put me in a position where I would sometimes be the only one there to manage everything. Yeah, I don't know. That was years ago, but it happened. And so I was, you know, this college student girl in there managing this hotel. And what I was taught to do was to give people upgrades. So I would look at the whole room. So we had 43 rooms in our hotel. And I would be a little strategic, and I would say, okay, this person, we're going to upgrade you here. All these people, you're going to get an upgrade. 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 And then what would happen is that it would leave room for the least expensive rooms to be available, so that when we had walk-ins come in that night, then we would, you know, it would be one of the cheaper option for them. So then hopefully we'd be able to sell that room. So that our goal was to have everything booked up. So for me, if I was able to give these amazing upgrades to everybody, how much more is God ready to give us upgrades in our life? How much more? How much more? Ask for upgrades. Ask for upgrades. Psalm 121, it summarizes that he doesn't sleep or slumber. This is God. God doesn't sleep or slumber. He preserves you from evil. He preserves your soul, and he watches over you. One of the biggest things in women that a need for us, I believe, is the need for security. The need for security. It's a love language for us that if we're provided for, if we're taken care of, if we feel secure, we are good. We're happy, and we're enjoying our bon voyage trip to Paris. You know, we are in good standing. But we live a life, when we live a life that isn't connected to him, that isn't connected to God, then we live a life where it's everything is in our own hands. So I believe what God was telling me to tell you tonight is that he wants to be your provider. He wants to be your father that takes care of you. He wants to extend that to you. There's a story in the Bible in 1 Kings where it talks about a widow, and it talks about Elijah, who represents the word of God at that time. time. And what happens is the widow, it was her and her son, and she just had a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour to make a cake. And Elijah came, the prophet, the word of God came, and he was looking. There was a famine during the time, and he asked, "Can you please provide a cup, something to drink, and can you provide a bite of cake?" And she said, "You know what, Prophet Elijah, if I give this to you, if I make this last cake, this is all I have. I was preparing this because after we have this, we're preparing to die. There's nothing left in my house to be able to give." And what he said is that if you give this to me, representing the word of God, if you give it to God, you will be sustained. You won't be in lack. That you're going to have supernatural provision until the famine is over and the crop starts to flourish again. So she put her trust in Elijah. She put her trust in the word of God. And what happened is through all of that time, through all those years, it was never dry. That oil never run dry. That flour never run dry. She continued to have it, and it was able to sustain them that whole time. When we are connected to God, when we're connected to his house, when we give him our everything, for that widow, that was everything for her. What she saw was death. What she saw is, this is my entire living, my entire being. Everything that I have, I'll choose to give to you because I'll put my trust, I'll believe in you, God. And what happens is that you're going to have supernatural provision in the time of famine, in the time of lack. So position yourself to receive God's upgrades. Do we dream with him? Do we ask him for things that goes beyond just what we can do in our own hands? And I'm telling you, that is going to make your bon voyage, the insurance of a good life, a really good life, as you put your trust in God. So have faith for God's provision, ask for them, and expect God to be a good God, because he is. He is our good Father. Amen. All right. Point number three is to go sightseeing. Go sightseeing. So what did I say before? I said travel light. You got to travel light. You got to ask for upgrades. And point number three is to go sightseeing. Go sightseeing. It's the greatest thing. And when you go sightseeing with God, he's going to train you how to see forward, how to look forward. When you see with him, you start to have eyes, you start to have vision that God gave you to see something beyond what's in front of you. That woman, that widow who, thank you team for coming up. We're going to go into ministry time here soon. But the widow who gave God everything, who put her trust in God, into this man, Elijah, this prophet. When she did that, she was connected to the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the Almighty God, the everlasting God. And what she saw in front of her eyes was death. But with God, it's beyond death. We can sometimes see only in our circumstances. We can only see what's right in front of our eyes, and we can't see past the end of our nose sometimes. We can't see past. But God is asking us, can you go sightseeing with me? Can you go sightseeing? Matt and I went on a trip to Mexico, and it was really fun. We stayed at a condo, and it was right alongside the ocean. And it was something I was all excited about. I wanted to go. I wanted to see the ocean. And we could have stayed in that place, in that hotel or condo, that whole time of vacation. Because I would have been happy. We were cooking there. We were hanging out on the ocean. We were taking these long walks on the beach. But our friend who helped us get this stay at this condo, he helped book us a tour for the wine country in Mexico. And it's actually gorgeous. So honestly, we could have said, you know what? We feel good. We feel comfortable here. You know, we'll just not do the sightseeing trip. But we ended up going, and it was one of the best days, the best times that Matt and I have had together. And he would take us along all these amazing vineyards. And we could have stayed in one place the entire day, but there was even more. So we went to the next vineyard and oh my goodness, this is beautiful. Look at the stonework. Look at all these things. Look at the tastings. And so we could have stayed there, but he continued to take us from vineyard to vineyard. And at the end of the day, it was the time when the sunset was setting and we came to a place and we didn't know where we were. It was just kind of a blind tour that we were on. And we got on this bus and we drove up and we got out of the car and then we started to walk to where they were taking us in this restaurant. And so what the view was the vineyard. It was beautiful and we saw some mountains. And so we were going around this, it's not really a mountain, maybe a hill. It's just something that we're going around. So we were going around that and all of a sudden, it was the most gorgeous epic view of the sunset coming down on the ocean. So I didn't even realize it was this restaurant, this vineyard that was on the ocean. And I got the best of both worlds. I got the view of the ocean and I got the view of the vineyard and I was in the happiest place of my life. But I wouldn't have known about it if I didn't continue to go sightseeing with the itinerary that was given to me. There's some things that God has for you, an itinerary that God has put together in your life, but you want to stay in the comfortable. You want to stay in the place that you know. As women, again, we love the security. We like, even if we're in an abusive relationship, if we know how to operate in an abusive relationship, we would rather stay with the abuser instead of going out to where God is calling you to come out and to go forward. We'd rather stay back here because we know, because it actually has become comfortable in our own world because we know how to operate in it. And so can we go past the comfortability? Can we go past where God is calling us out of into the promises that God has, out of the comfortable? It doesn't mean that we're not going to have security, but what it does mean is that we're not going to have security in our circumstances anymore, but we're going to have security in God. Because in God, we are secure in Him and He can take us wherever we go. So if He's telling me tonight to step out and to let go of this baggage and to move out from a Sodom and Gomorrah into the promises, will I not look back? Will I not look back? There's a story in the Bible that is about Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's about Lot's wife. In the New Testament, it's the only woman that Jesus refers to in the New Testament. The only thing. And it's a simple scripture. It literally says, Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. That's the verse. If you want to memorize a verse tonight, there you go. It's Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. All right. Wow. There are over 100 women in the Bible, Jesus, that you could have referenced to, but you're telling us to remember Lot's wife? Why are you telling us to remember Lot's wife? Lot's wife. So what happened is that they were coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And for those of you who don't know, in the Old Testament, when it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, it talks about evil. It talks about there were rapes, there were murders, it was sexual abuse. There was all these things going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was the evil of evil at that time. And Lot chose to live there. And an angel from God was telling them that this land is about to get destroyed. So come with me. Let me hold your hand and let me take you out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me take you out of the evil. Let me take you out of this circumstance that, yes, you're probably comfortable with. Yes, you learned how to operate. Yes, you learned how to do business in Sodom and Gomorrah, but I'm telling you, it is about to get destroyed. I didn't create you to have a destructive life. I created you to have a prosperous life, and I want you to go. I want you to leave. And so I'm going to take your hand. I'm going to take your hand. And God is so gracious that He takes our hand and leads us from one place to another. So as Lot and his wife were running away, there was only one commandment that was given to them. And the commandment was, do not look back. Do not look back. Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere. And what did Lot's wife do is she looked back. As she was running out of the place where there were the abusers, where there was the criticism, where there was the control, when there was the manipulation, as she was running out of that circumstance, I think what happened is that because she had so much security there, she feared what was ahead. She didn't have her fear and trust in God, but she feared what was ahead because she knew how to operate in the damage. She knew how to operate in the destruction. She was told not to look back. And then as she does, as she turns and looks back, to probably wish that, oh man, I wish I could go back there. I don't know where I'm going, but God, she turned into a pillar of salt. I don't want to be turned into a pillar of salt, the salty lady. No, we live in Salt Lake City, but I don't want to be a salty lady. No, that's why we call it Sweet Lake City. But Lot's wife was not to look back on the familiar. In Isaiah 43, 18 through 19, it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing in you. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see what's in front of you? Can you not see past the end of your nose? You might see death in front of you, but I am doing a new thing. I am doing something new. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. That is what I have for you as you're coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah. I have something fresh. I have something new. I have streams of life. I have a promise for you. I need you to run. I need you to flee. I need you to not look back. I need you to let go of this luggage that stinks so bad, that smells worse than Pastor Lorenz's compost pile. I need you to let go. Forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past." I feel like it's a command from God for us. Do not dwell in the past. Do not look back. Let it go. Forgive. He has great new things ahead for you. In Revelations 21:5, it says, "Behold, I make all things new." All things new. For these words are true and faithful. So tonight, the challenge is, are we gonna let go of our fear? Are we gonna let go of something that's comfortable? Are we gonna let go of things that we know are weighing us down, that are holding us back? Are we willing to answer the question that God is proposing to you tonight? Are you willing to let go? Are you willing to not look in the past? Come sightseeing with me. I'm gonna open your eyes. I'm gonna show you things that you didn't see in the dark place where you grew up, where you were living in. You couldn't see it there, but my daughter, I have something big for you. I have something special for you. You know that you were born in such a time as this. You were born not in a mistake. The time that you are living now is not a mistake. He's trying to wake us up. He's trying to unlock purpose and destiny in every single heart of his, the women, the daughters of his. Did you know that you are an influencer? Did you know people are looking at you? Do you know that people can see this baggage and they're gonna see, are you gonna let go of it? Are you gonna continue to look back? Are you gonna go forward? Because if you are, I wanna go with you. You are an influencer. There is purpose, there is destiny on your life. God wants to unlock you tonight. Take you out of the uncommon into the blessing of God, into the blessing of God. Come on, why don't we stand to our feet tonight? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, out of the comfortable. You know that Pastor Hosanna and I didn't even talk before this. Didn't even talk. And so this is God proposing this question. You are an influencer. Your daughters are looking to you. You're an influencer in your family. Are you going to choose to let go of things and to grow up and not be a victim anymore to certain things that are weighing us down? You are an influencer, and your voice matters. And God put you on this planet, on this earth, for such a time as this, because he needed your voice. He needs you, and he needs you to rise up, and he needs you to be the woman of God that he created you to be. God is raising up a generation of women positioned to glorify and to worship God, a generation of women. So if you are wanting to let go tonight, if you are wanting to let go and to not look back, I want to challenge you tonight. We're going to go into a worship song, and I wanted to invite us all forward. And sure, we can scoot these chairs back, because I'm telling you, just like how it was time for me to put all my junk on the side of the road, the garbage truck is coming. It's coming right now. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your time. Are you going to choose to step out of your seat and to not look back, to let go of things? So go ahead. Let's go ahead and come forward. We're going to end with another worship song. But as we worship God tonight, let's raise our hands. Let's pray. Let's honor and worship him. And as we raise our hands and as we sing this song and as we worship and glorify him, we are choosing in our hearts. We're going to say, we let it go. We let it go. Are you going to declare that the chains are broken? Are you going to declare that the chains are broken? I can't do it for you, but I need you to declare. I need you to step out. I need you to do something bold and courageous, to step out and be uncomfortable and to not look back. Come on, let's give him praise in Jesus' name. Come on, amen.
Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com. Or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already, and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.